Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Angels on Air. Today is Wednesday, February 4th, 2015. My name is Carolyn McGee. I am an angelic life coach and Reiki master. I also do animal communication and work mainly with women, helping them to feel empowered, to move through things that are blocking them from living a joyful, empowered life full of ease and grace. And I, as I mentioned, am an angelic life coach. I got my training through angelsteach.com, through Reverend Elvia Rowe. And she and Angels Teach are our sponsors for this evening. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to me, you can do that on my website, which is gatewaytoyou.com. Joining me tonight for the next hour is a wonderful angelic friend who I met through Angels Teach. He has been on the show with me a couple of times before, and the shows are always very insightful and interesting. You never know what our angels are going to cook up for us. So, Joseph Gabrielson, it is so wonderful to have you again. Would you like to tell the folks a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Carolyn. And I'm so glad to be here with you today. My name is Joseph Gabrielson, and I'm the founder of Divine Heart Ministry. My main mission is to help people connect with their divinity and open their hearts to live the life that they truly desire. In addition to being an angel communication master, I'm also a soul coach, so I use a lot of life coaching tools, but I also tune in to their soul energy and work them through a process so that they can birth what their soul is longing to express in the world. So I think from the soul is an exciting topic for me, and I'm looking forward to sharing information about that with you. If you would like to know more about me or contact me, you can go to divineheartministry.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing that. And your angels, well, a little bit of help from mine, have come up with a topic for us to discuss tonight, which is, I guess, living from a spiritual base, you know, reconnecting with your soul and really trusting and following your intuition and your own internal guidance system. So I'm fascinated to see where they're going to bring us this evening.
Me
did you have
too,
a place where you'd like to start?
Well, the angels are guiding me to start with this, that living from the soul and being your authentic self, they're the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you live from the soul, you're in a place where you're head intelligence, your heart, and your somatic or body intelligence is all connected and working together for the highest good. So it's really a process of examining your filters and maybe your beliefs that may be limiting you from expressing your authentic self. Perhaps you feel like you have to suppress certain parts of yourself around certain people just to make things comfortable. But I found that when you live authentically, others pick up that energy and they want to have that same energy, which they can. So it's kind of something where I also lead by example. Do your angels have anything that they would like to share on that?
Yeah, I from my own personal experience, before I started really understanding and connecting with my angels, I was what many people call a people pleaser. So I was trying to, and I think I actually called myself a more of a chameleon. I would try to be what I thought other people wanted me to be, and was very unhappy. And just as you said, once I started to be who I am and allow other people to see who I was much more comfortable, and I found people were more drawn to me because I was who I was who I am, and I was allowing that to shine through. And it really made a big difference for me in starting my spiritual journey, just because I trusted myself and I was authentic and I allowed people to see who I am.
And I think it's also a big it was also a big shift for me to not worry so much about what other people thought, because the angels, said to me in this kind of blunt way, they said, not everybody is going to like you, but you will have people that support what you're doing. So don't worry about everybody liking you. Just be an example of that authentic expression, and mm-hmm. the people that are meant to work with you and that are meant to grow will pick up on that, and it will make a big difference.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really important part for anybody who's especially just starting the journey, is that we truly are all unique. We are all special. We each have, a certain mix of spices, if you would, that make us different. And you're right, not everybody is going to like us, and not everybody is intended to like us. But as long as we like ourselves and trust ourselves, then we are living from that soul-based purpose, and we'll draw in the right support people. We'll draw in the people who need us that we can support and really, help other people.
Absolutely. You're meant to support people in the world, but you're not meant to support everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that as a society, from people who have not had that spiritual awareness and really deep connection with their own souls, we are trained to try to please other people or to go outside of what we know internally is correct and conform to certain perhaps outside expectations, outside looking in versus inside looking out, with that check in with our own body, check in with our own gut, our intuition as to really what the right answer is. I think one of my favorite parts of becoming an angelic coach, life coach like you are also, was learning a little bit about human design and being able to really tap into my own body, because I'm I have a sacral motor, so I can check in right or wrong for me, and to just have that basic tool and understanding is so powerful to release the conditioning that we've had. Or at least that I have had.
There's another piece about the soul that the angels are giving you the nudge to share, and it's regarding manifesting what we want in our life. And it's a little bit off topic, but I guess when you think about it, it really isn't. But anyway, is the difference between ego manifestation and soul manifestation. Ego manifestation is, if I have this house or this car or this job or this wife, then I'll be happy. and it's about getting things to quell that desire or put out that divine discontent with material things. But in the long run, that is not going to satisfy. I don't know about any of the audience or yourself, but for me, it doesn't matter what goal I reach. Eventually, there comes a longing in me for something more, and that longing cannot be filled with material things. Temporarily, maybe, but not permanently. And that longing is, you know, a connection with the divine and the realization or the remembrance of oneness. So when I thought of abundance in this way, it made it much easier for me to accept abundance in my life. If the angels are giving you something to tie that to intuition, then by all means share, but I know that this, when I followed my intuition, when I first started to really follow it all the time, this feeling is what came up for me. So I'll just give you a chance to interject in case you want to share something as well.
All right, thank you. And I think that's really important what you mentioned about, you know, abundance and feeling connected. It, you know, for me, I manifest the quickest when I'm really clear on what it is that I want. And for me, that's following my intuition. So as long as I understand and I connect and I believe, you know, for me it's that faith portion of it, of really firmly having that faith and that belief that what I feel is true. Almost like energizing and living it before it's happened, because I have so much faith in the feeling that I'm having. And that quickly brings things into life for me. And you know, it can be manifesting, you know, the right person to, you know, to do the radio show with me. Like, you know, you step forward. It could be, you know, a partner for, you know, a business that I'm starting. It can, it, you know, a ride home for my mom who's visiting me from New York. You know, all of these things, when I truly trust and believe that the information I'm receiving from God and from my angels is correct, then it just happens. It's almost like magic. Don't you find the same thing? That when you truly believe something and feel it in your heart, that it just happens?
Absolutely. And when I think of that, something comes to mind, a small quotation from Ernest Holm in his book about universal spirituality called The Science of Mind. One of the things he repeats over and over is the universe will respond to you at the level of your belief.
Ooh, I like that.
I just thought that was a good way to sum up what you're talking about. The more you believe, the more you embody the feeling of what it is like to have what you want already, the more easily it manifests.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I encourage people to not worry and not put focus and put energy investment into things they don't really want, because then they're energizing that, which has, you know, the reverse impact of what we truly want, but that's what we're magnetizing and energizing.
Yeah, that's absolutely so true. I agree. And another thing that they're asking me to share also, around intuition. And they're asking me to share because for me, it was something that kind of took a lot of pressure off when it comes to several things. Following the intuition, one, you know, and right decision making for me, number two, and that is to actually sit down and maybe have a thought of 30 minutes and on a piece of paper, just write the numbers 1 through 5 and try to contemplate, meditate, use angel cards, however you want to do it, to come up with your 5 core values. And I think that's important for this. They're continuing to tell me because not only did it help me trust my intuition more, I automatically knew when something was in alignment with my highest purpose or my soul. Because with each decision that you make, you can look at that list of 5 or that list of 7 if you have a few more and say, do these values actually line up with what I'm going to do? And decide whether you're going to totally change the values or choose another opportunity. Because when you're in line with your values, then you're in that state of flow with the angels, with your intuition, with the source in general. And it really helped me. First, I started with 1 sentence, and then I was challenged by somebody to cut it down to 2 words.
Ooh, that must have been a challenge.
It is. So I suggest starting with maybe a sentence or a few, and then seeing if you can really boil it down to the essence. So that's just something that they can try listening. Not necessarily right now, but that was really valuable for me.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's a great concept. I know anytime I make lists or write things down or journal or, you know, automatic writing, anything, the information that flows through is just so powerful. And for me, it's all different tools to move my ego out of the way. Now, I love my ego. I have a great relationship with her. She's a strong-willed little girl. But I know that I need her in order to bring forth all of these wonderful ideas that come into me. You know, it's reality, because you do need to have your physical body, you need to have your ego in order to survive. But we've come to kind of a terms where she'll step aside for me to be able to get the inspiration for us both to be able to manifest and put out there. So it's a dance. It's a nice dance to come to that balance with the different components of their physical existence now.
One of the best little anecdotes or little explanations of the ego and why we need it was on some teleconference, I cannot remember the person's name, she said, imagine a bowl of oatmeal with the spoon inside, and the oatmeal is ready to eat. If you're going to take away the ego, that would be like taking away the bowl that the porridge is in, and everything would just be a mess. It needs that kind of guidance of that form to really operate properly. Just like you wouldn't pour the oatmeal on the table and then eat it.
That's a really good one. Yeah, you do need to have the container and the physical strength in order to be able to bring things forth.
When you say physical strength, I just have to share that if you really are consistent with your inner work and you really believe in manifesting something, the angels will help you with strength because they know it's in alignment with your highest purpose. So, for example, I am in the process of journaling and making a few meditations for a meditation series. And I was a little bit concerned that, you know, I'm going to run out of breath before I get to the end of the meditation. Because of my mobility restrictions. But do you know, when I went to record that thing, it was just like a bolt of energy came through me, and it was like I was in the background, and my voice became stronger. So if there's any support that you need, the angels will give it to you. But as Elvia always says, all you have to do is ask. They're not going to give it to you if you're resisting it or you don't want it. So.
Yeah, that is so true. And you know, that's one of the things that I think was so foundational for me in working with, you know, the angels who, you know, both you and I believe are an aspect of our higher self. So it's a piece of, you know, our own intuition reaching out towards God. And it's, yeah, just asking, because you can't, if you don't ask, you can't receive.
Now, I'm just starting to do human design readings again, so I might need you to pick your brain about this, but would the open head have a different time with intuition than somebody who has a defined head, or the head and asthma?
I don't believe it affects your intuition. Human design is not my strength, but I believe the intuition resides more down in the lower body. It's either the spleen or sacral, the solar plexus, one of those. It's not my area of expertise, but my understanding and recollection is the head and ajna are more about ideas and processing.
Right.
So if you have a divined head, which I have, you would have a certain way of viewing things and certain order and expectation of things, certain patterning of things that feel more comfortable for you. And if they're open, it's more, you know, you can model your thought processes in any way, shape, or form, depending on who you're around and what kind of inspiration you get.
Basically, the only reason I brought that up is because I know that the human design, like you said, really helped me to discover my exact way that I use the intuition and what is strongest
mm-hmm.
for me. And if you don't have enough information about this, by all means, say that, but they're guiding me to ask you. You said that you have the defined head. Is that correct?
Yes, and ajna.
So, have you noticed some challenges with that around intuition? As far as having to kind of put that logical process to the side and connect with the intuition more?
I did when I first started out, because I do have a very logical, ordered brain. You know, I'm actually, you know, an engineering management major, you know, from college way back. So I have, you know, processing and order and certain ways of doing things that's part of my ego and part of my brain, you know, my logical thinking brain. And I used to analyze things rather than feel them. And I always had feelings. I always had very strong connections in my physical body, especially down, you know, through my sacral and my solar plexus areas. But I didn't believe them. I didn't trust them. And it was as I started to really connect with my body versus my brain that I could feel what was right for me. I could sometimes, you know, feel it in my skin what was right for me. That, you know, knowingness in my heart, from my heart feeling full versus constricted, that things were good or bad, or, you know, perhaps I should proceed with caution. You know, the kind of the energetic sense that you get from being in a room, if it's safe or not. So for me, I definitely agree that there was a challenge because of my brain style and, you know, patterning that I am born with, and that's part of who I am. And it was a conscious choice to follow my body's lead and my body's sensing rather than what I was thinking and analyzing in my brain. So that was a great question.
I actually now am clear on what I was told to ask you. And I think because I had a similar experience, sometimes to further activate and follow the intuition, it's necessary to slowly shift your thought pattern or let go of a little bit of logic in order to bring in that magical, mystical type of energy.
Mm-hmm. One of the processes that I used, I'm very deliberately choosing the word process, was trust but verify. And I'll give you a concrete example. When I purchased my home, it was in 2000, and I was just starting on my really opening up myself to my spirituality and my faith and trusting my intuition. I walked in the front door of my current home, and I knew it was my home. I just knew deep in my soul that this was where I was supposed to raise my children. But I also checked to make sure that I was, you know, that it was a good school district, that it was a good, safe neighborhood, that, you know, there wasn't any issues with the water, that I was paying a reasonable price. You know, so I, that trust but verify. And, you know, and as time went on, it became very, very clear that it was really the perfect place for me to be. So, you know, it was a wonderful opportunity for me to trust myself and to also have it continually verified over the years that this was really the right spot for me to be. And there's been other smaller ones, too, you know, that have, it's been the same type of thing where I've had an instant, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do, and then been given backup that I could logically say and verify, oh, yeah, okay, I can trust myself. I can trust this inner feeling, this inner guidance that I have. And then it just became second nature for me to kind of go with my gut first. And so I lead with that now.
That was a...
Do you have any... Go ahead.
It's interesting. For me, that same journey took place, but for me, it was a little bit different. Yes, I was in my head, and I had been able to get from my head to be able to sit in my heart center for a while and feel comfortable just feeling my emotions. But the one that was a challenge for me was exactly what you now lead with, is the body part, because some things about my body and some sensations. I wanted at first to run away from it. I don't want to feel that. So I was more up in the head and the heart, but nothing was really connecting because I wasn't drawing the energy into the body and actually bringing it down to earth, for lack of a better term. So I thought I was aware of my body, but after some self-contemplation and meditation, I realized that I'm actually scared of the messages that my body has, or scared of pain. Of course, it's different now. I'm just kind of explaining my journey a bit. So it was kind of, I had that head and the heart. I just needed that final push to really incorporate the body part. And, you know, for those of you that may not know, I'm, you know, physically challenged. So it took me a while to really look at my physical form and appreciate it. So that's my kind of sharing around that. So,
and did you find that accepting that that body connection and really drawing it into your body, did you find that that helped you enhance your intuition?
Yes, because now, even though I need a lot of help with my personal needs, I have a sense of more control over my body, because I might not be able to do a lot of the mobility things, but I can still have a conversation with my body, find out what's going on, give it compassion, or whatever the need be. So this is a way now for me to nurture my body, given that I cannot physically massage it or need a lot of assistance with the personal thing. So this is a way of realizing that I can still, you know, give love to my body and help it, even though I have the mobility challenges. So it really helped me. And I think it was interesting because there was some emotions that I had to deal with before I could make that connection. And it's not important what the emotions were. They were just quite negative. So I would say doing that and really seeing myself as a whole person helped me with intuition too. And it's really interesting because now I get a lot of body sensations when I'm doing angel readings and different things like that. So not only have I connected with that myself, but it's enabled me to be a better vessel for the divine.
Yeah, I would completely agree on that, because I think the more I have trusted all of the different ways that I connect with my intuition, or I connect with any variety of divine guidance, the easier it is for me to hear and channel and bring forth exactly what my clients need. You know, the messages that are truly going to help them grow the most. So it's pretty beautiful.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, usually we do an angel reading around this time. I am not seeing anybody raising their hand on the switchboard or with questions out in the chat room. So I think maybe we should just do a general one for the audience. How does that feel to you, Joseph?
That feels good. If you don't mind, I'll just take a quick minute to get some water.
Do that. I'm going to start here and let you chime in when you're ready. I am using one of my favorite decks, which is the Gaia deck from Tony Carmine Salerno. And let's see what's going to pop out for our people today. Oh, this one's absolutely perfect. It's the Ocean of Eternal Love card, and it's the one that looks like it's a full moon. Now, yesterday was the full moon, and the moon energy and the pull that it has on everybody's body, and the connection to that deep, quiet, serene energy is just perfect for intuition. And I notice that, you know, my energy ebbs and flows with the moon cycles. And I know that there's a lot of other people that that have the same type of a patterning. You know, they suggest that you start something new with the new moon so that as the moon becomes larger, the energy around your mission becomes stronger. And if you want to let go of things, you let go of them at the full moon so that your attachment to things becomes smaller and smaller and smaller as the moon starts to, I don't know the correct terminology, but I think it's wane as it becomes smaller. So the moon is a great way to connect with energy, to charge yourself, and also to start noticing your own patterns. It was another thing that helped me tremendously with my own intuition was to notice my patterns, things that I was doing, whether it was sleeping, eating, anything, any amount of energy that I had to exercise. You know, you mentioned journaling. I think things like that can be really important, and just awareness and see how they fit in with how connected you feel and how open you are to following that guidance that you receive. So anything you want to add?
So sorry, I just needed it because there was a bit of background noise. What you said is really powerful, and I think it's important to remember that everything happens in cycles. So with intuition, the simple message is just to be easy on yourself and realize that there will be times when your intuition is stronger and times when you're more affected by your beliefs and personal filters. So, for example, if you start out getting a lot of information from your intuition, and then maybe, let's say, the next day, you don't feel so connected, just to remember that it's a process of expanding and opening and awakening, so it's not something that usually comes to people all at one time. So that relates to the cycle piece. Is my audio still okay?
Yep. Yeah, no, it's fine. And I think that's a great way to put it, too.
Absolutely. And I'm, even though I cannot see the card, I'm seeing the moon, and I'm also seeing water. So it's not in the card. It may be. I don't know. I don't have the card in front of me. But the message there is, in developing your intuition, just be aware that as you develop it further and shift your way of thinking and your way of operating, there's going to be a lot of emotions that will arise at different times. And I'm guided that, you know, really tuning and toning your intuition, you know, involves releasing what no longer serves you. And the emotions are all part of it. And through the releasing of that, you'll get realizations about your intuition and your connection to the divine. So just be easy on yourself and know that ups and downs are okay. And if you've got a number of emotions coming up at once, it's a good indication that things in conflict are just rising and coming up and out. So that's the rest of that message.
I think that's a perfect message, and it reminds me of, you know, because I am highly connected with my body now. I wasn't in the past, as I mentioned, but I am now. And I notice that when I am feeling either emotions or things, it means that they are coming up and out. And even though it's uncomfortable, especially sometimes I'll have anxiety that, you know, I can feel in my lower belly, and it's very uncomfortable. But I know that that means I am releasing something that I have held in. And it's a process that my body needs to go through to allow it to kind of come to the surface. And it typically will travel down my legs and into the ground. So it's going through that small or minor discomfort to bring forth something that's blocking me from truly connecting in with, you know, with my soul or with, you know, with my deeper intuition. And, you know, the trusting that process, trusting that discomfort to get to the other side of it is very powerful, or can be very powerful.
And I think, too, one addition that comes up for me is that quite often I get things that are wanting to release or things that might be stuck as physical pains, even if there's nothing really physically to warrant them. So there was a previous time in my life where when those types of sensations are coming up, I would just go into fight or flight right away. Oh my goodness, this really hurt. It's going to ruin everything I'm trying to speak here. How do I control this and speak at the same time? But I found when I let go of that chatter and the worrying and just said, okay, it's hurting right now. I'm just going to sit with it and just feel it. And as soon as I let go and make the choice to do that, it's like it either stops or it lessens significantly. And if there is a message from this, then I will either get it right away or sometimes later when I'm not doing other things, and I'll get some message from it. It's interesting because nobody wants to have physical pain, but that's one of my challenges. And one day I was trying to flip it to a positive. And what the angels came up with is that through having this discomfort, as uncomfortable as it might be, when you are experiencing something like a muscle cramp or any type of a pain, there's no way you can be anywhere else except the present moment. Because
that is
that was kind of a big one for me too, because it's not fun to be in pain. But when I stop to notice it, when I'm in pain, I'm not having any other thought. So, you know, I'm not saying, you know, be in pain to be in the present moment, but sometimes you can, you know, take that away as one of the gifts of something a little uncomfortable, is you're automatically brought down to the present moment, whether you like it or not.
Right? So, yeah, definitely.
And I, was,
and I think
know,
one thing with pain, one thing with pain too is that we always have choices with it. You know, we can bury it, We can ignore it, we can mask it, or we can acknowledge it and, like you said, find out what the message is that it has for us. And many times it is, it's a messenger. And if we acknowledge what we need to know from it, it can either come to the surface and be released, or it lessens into something that's more manageable because it was trying to send us a signal.
And every time I go into any speaking engagement or workshop now, I always say, you know, I call in the three big head honchos, the Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Michael, and Archangel Raphael, and I always ask Archangel Raphael to help to dissolve the sensation of pain for this session at least, if not more. And if there is any messages that I need from these signals, then I will receive them after the workshop when I have time to write it down.
Oh, that's
brilliant. I don't tell anybody that, but it really helps me to really kind of get that out of my head before I start. So I trust that will be relevant for someone listening.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it will be, and I think it's a good reminder again to ask. You know, when God created the angels, their mission is to support those of us who are in the physical bodies right now, but they can't do it unless we ask. So that is just a really great reminder to ask for support, especially if it's something tangible like that that you know will help you.
Yes, and I think that they will help us with anything and everything as long as we ask. So never to think that something is too small or too large. If you think that something is too small or too large, then that gets in the way of you actually manifesting it. So if you really
mm-hmm.
want it, then just trust, well, that will come at the right time. For example.
Absolutely.
So, I'm guided, since you pulled the card, I'm going to pull one using the handy little Ask the Angels button on angelsteach.com.
Ooh, perfect.
See if we have a complimentary message to your card.
I'm willing to bet we will.
Oh, that's interesting. This card is from the deck Tony Carmen Salerno Spirit Oracle, and it's called Secret Knowledge. And this is the card that I had to, really open up and it took a while for me to get a message from this card when I first would see it all the time, but in this particular moment, there's a round ball in the middle. And you could say it looks like Earth, but you could also say that it looks like a cell under a microscope. So this is just a reminder that we hold all the sacred knowledge within us. So yes, God is out there in all of nature and in all of the atmosphere and everything like that. But we're also a microcosm of God. So we each have an important cell in that body. And without one of those cells, something would not function the same way. whether it's your beingness or something that you are sharing. And they're also adding that although sharing is very powerful, sometimes your beingness can be more powerful in a time when you cannot find words. It's interesting that I've had a lot of people I don't know come up and introduce themselves to me, and they'll say, you know, I just feel something really good about your energy, and I feel like when I'm around you, I'm open and everything is comfortable. And it's that awareness that helped me to embody that energy. So sometimes your purpose is a lot more simple yet profound than you actually think. You can make a big difference just by the way you are being, or one word that you might say to somebody. It might not be significant for you, but you're not in their head. So just don't discount those small ways that you impact the lives of other people, even unconsciously. This just looks like a cell with a bunch of, it looks like the Big Bang just happened or something like that. It's interesting, and it's all about connection. And that's not what I saw last time I was looking at the card. But yeah, it's
don't
really
you
important.
Love how it's different all the time?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the card, is that you can look at an image, and it's only a tool, but it's very powerful, because you can look at an image one day and then another day and get some completely different. There's times when I look at this and go, what on earth is that? I'm not getting any message. And then there's times when I look at it and go, yeah, that kind of looks like your body, or that kind of looks like your pupil, or something really obscure like that. So, yes, the tools are static, but the energy is not. And the angels,
yes,
you know, okay. The angels can affect matter, because I've seen cards change in front of my eyes into something different that's not on the card, and they completely go away and be that same image. So the cards have an intention to ground that energy, and you'll see it change sometimes, which that's what I find really interesting. I'll say to another colleague, I'll say, do you see this in the card? And they'll say, well, no. There's no rabbit there. I said, yes, there's a rabbit there. Can't you see it? No. And that just leads to the final thing, that everybody's intuition is different. So everybody will have different vocabulary that they relate to their intuition. So one object might remind somebody of one thing and somebody else of another thing. But the message is always perfect for the person at that time. And what you have to say is perfect for the person that you're guided to say it to. So,
trust that. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just kind of finished off. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, as part of trusting the intuition, especially if you're working, you know, with other people or providing guidance, is to just give the guidance, whatever the image is, and trust that they will know what it means. You know, it may not mean anything to me, but, you know, providing them the information could, you know, they may know exactly what it is. You know, for one time I was working on somebody, and I get a lot of intuitive information when I'm doing Reiki on somebody, and I was working on her heart, and I saw these beautiful pink beach roses, and I mean, for me, that's not something that I typically associate with heart. It's just not one of my logical intuitive vocabulary things that connects. But the moment I said, I see these, she's like, oh, are those, you know, kind of flowery roses? She says, my grandmother's house was covered in those. And then immediately I saw my grandmother in my mind's eye, so I knew that it was her grandmother that was trying to reach out to her and tell her that she loved her. And if I hadn't expressed what I was seeing, even though it didn't make any sense to me, I wouldn't have been able to pass along this message to her that her grandmother loves her and was still with her. So we definitely want to trust our own intuition, our own messages, and allow the other person to interpret them the way they need to. Go ahead.
That was really well said, actually. I think, too, that sometimes an image that we get will trigger something in the person that we're trying to help as well. So you might receive part of the message, and your client will get the other, and then is able to put them together. I've had that happen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always look at it as I'm building a puzzle, and I'm getting a piece of it, and then I may get another piece of it, or the client may get another piece of it, or I may have to get a dream to get the next piece of it, but it's all just putting together a puzzle, having all of these wonderful bits of information provided to me and me having the faith to put them all together and create something beautiful.
That's wonderful. I see that we're almost at the hour, so just letting you know.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that a couple of minutes ago, too. It surprises me how fast our time together goes. Do you have any final words that you would like to pass along on, you know, connecting with the soul or intuition? And, of course, please let everybody know how to get a hold of you, too.
If you would like to get a hold of me, my website is divineheartministry.com. Most of the contacts and social media are there. And in closing, I'll just leave you with this one statement that came through from the source when I was on another call with Angels Teach. You know, we were doing a breathing and connecting the breath with a group exercise. And the angel said to me, they said, we're all connected. Together, we create the breath of God. And I just was kind of taken aback by that, because you know it's from a higher source when you sit back and go, whoa, did I just say that? But, yeah, together we create the breath of God. And if we realize that, we'll know that we're never alone.
Wow, I just got chills all over my body. That is incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah. The same thing happens to me, so it's a very powerful thought to have in your mind.
Yes, it certainly is. And I think my closing statement to everyone is to have faith in yourself, to trust, to believe, and to take it in small steps. You know, try and use the same tool that worked for me, especially if you have the logical brain or the analytical brain or the need to prove to yourself brain. You know, do small things and then verify them and gain confidence through practice. You know, I will sometimes, you know, go into a room and just, I have two cats, so I'll go into the room and I will say, okay, is my black cat's name is Petey. Is Petey in the room? And, I mean, 9 times out of 10, he's under the bed, so it's not something that I can see. And then I'll, yes or no, and then I'll check. And, you know, so small, you can practice your intuition and your trusting your own ability through little things like that that you can verify. Or have a friend put something in a you know, something that you can't see and have them hand it to you so you can guess what it is. You know, there's all kinds of little tips or tools, or, you know, a card. You know, pick out a card and say, I'm going to pick out a card that has something blue on it. As a, you know, so you're practicing, you know, connecting in with that energy and trusting. And the more you do that, the more confident you will become, and then the more second nature it is. Don't you find, Joseph, that it's just like any other muscle? The more you practice it, the stronger it becomes.
Yes, and also it's a balance of practice, but also knowing when to let go and trust.
Very good point. Yes, you definitely need to get to that point. But in the very beginning, the baby steps of practicing, I think, gave me the confidence to get to that point of trust. But absolutely beautiful to send out that reminder to everyone. And
yeah,
if any of you folks...
Before.
Yeah. And if anybody is interested in connecting with me personally or getting to know more about me, you can reach me on Facebook. I'm at Carolyn McGee, Intuitive Coach, and or also on gatewaytoyou.com. So I thank you all, those of you who are listening live in the chat room or those of you who are energetically here and going to be listening to the recording at some point in the future. Thank you for your presence. And Joseph, thank you for your time and your energy. Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Really enjoyed it. Thank you, Joseph.
Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everyone.